Thanks for listening. My name is Robert Green. I'm the pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, and this program is called Benefit from the Bible. Do you have a church home where God is working through His Word and through His Supper to build you up in Jesus Christ? Come and be a faithful member of Bethlehem Lutheran Church, 7500 State Road in Parma. Go to our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com, to find out more. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we draw closer and closer to Holy Week, this, of course, is a time of the year when we remember that Jesus is making this journey to Jerusalem. He knows it will be His final trip to Jerusalem, and He knows all that is about to happen, and yet He continues anyway down that path. He was so courageous, even in the face of excruciating pain, and He was so obedient, perfectly obedient to the will of His Father in heaven, to go all the way to the cross. Every step, every scourge, every nail was for your benefit and for mine and for people of the entire world of all time. But we might wonder, though, how can His death bring us life? Doesn't it seem so impossible that He died so long ago? We live now. Someday we're going to die. How could there be any connection between His death bringing us life? Well, that brings us to today's key question. Is Jesus' power greater than death? We're going to discover the answer here as we look at the second half of Mark chapter 5. In the first half, that is where Jesus drives the legion of demons from the man who was so possessed and so out of his mind and so powerful that no one could contain him. And yet, when the demons were driven out, the man was not only completely back to normal, but he was so much wanting to then follow Jesus, such a radical change in his life. Jesus would not permit him to follow, but then he goes out, and now he's serving as an evangelist, going out into the countryside, going to the area of the Decapolis, a 10-city area, and telling everyone who would listen who Jesus is and what Jesus had done for him. God wants us to see how when lives are changed, there is a radical transformation in people's lives. Well, going on to the second half now of chapter 5, we first of all want to set the location. So going back to verse 21 of Mark chapter 5, the Bible says, "And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, that would be the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea." So thinking about the Sea of Galilee there in northern Israel, of course, people a long time ago, oftentimes they were living near bodies of water, near rivers and so on, because they needed the water. Why live far away when you can live near and have that source of water close by? So Jesus was able to crisscross the Sea of Galilee and be able to encounter many various people who lived on various shores around the Sea of Galilee. Also, too, Jesus did much ministry there. He was casting out, he was healing, he was teaching, and he developed a reputation very quickly. People heard about him, they were excited. Those who witnessed or heard his teaching, those who witnessed his miracles, it was an extraordinary thing. To think about the geography here just a little bit, think about how in Mark chapter 4, he was over on the western side. At the end of Mark chapter 4 that we looked at last Wednesday, he ended up traveling to the eastern side, and that's where we have the incident with the boat and the storm and all that happened. And then we see today where it says he crossed again. So now he goes from the eastern side back over to the western side. Now he's back in the area of Capernaum, kind of his headquarters there in Galilee. That's where Peter lived. Jesus stayed with Peter when he was in that area. And he had already just been over there, casting out demons, performing miracles, and teaching. The people were sad to see him go, but now he's back. And now they're really excited to gather around and see him again. So, picking up in verse 22 now, we come to the great need. The Bible says, "Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue." So this would be not a professional clergyman, if you will, but this would be a layperson, and he was responsible for the local house of worship. This is the man who came. The Bible says his name was Jairus, and seeing him, he fell at Jesus' feet. And when he did that, he implored him. Thus, he begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. So just upon coming back to the area of Capernaum, when people heard a big crowd gathered already, they're all surrounding him, and then this man comes, tells of the predicament, and now Jesus goes with him. Think about the plea that the father made. Jesus had the reputation of having healed many. His daughter is so sick, she is near death, so he comes, believing Jesus can help. And he is desperate. He is down on the ground. He is begging. He is pleading. "Jesus, please come. If you don't come right away, she's going to die." I mean, this was a father who loved his daughter, and he was willing to do anything to get Jesus to come and heal her. And then we have really human curiosity, I think. The crowd was great already. They hear what the man from the local synagogue said. Probably many people even knew that man. Maybe they knew his daughter. Maybe they didn't know she was sick, but now they did know. Now they knew how desperate her situation was because of the begging and pleading that the father had done. And maybe even just out of curiosity, they're like, if Jesus is going there, we're going to go there too. We want to witness what happens. We want to hear about what happens. We want to know what happens. Are there people today who are, like we say, ambulance chasers? You know, they want to know what's going on. They want to see, you know, what's going to happen. So I think that's a little bit the situation back then. At this point in the text, we see in verses 25 to 34, we have kind of an interlude here because there's a woman that as Jesus is making his way to the house of Jairus, a woman comes up and she ends up touching simply Jesus' garment from behind. And she was a woman who had been sick for 12 years. The Bible says she had been to many doctors. The Bible says she had spent all the money she had, and yet she was still sick, and she had this condition of bleeding, and no matter what she did, it could not be healed. But she heard about Jesus. She heard about all of his healing. She believed that he could heal her, so secretly she goes up to him in the crowd, and she simply touches his garment. And she had that much faith that she believed that simply by touching his garment that she would be well. Now keep in mind, there is such a crowd pressing against Jesus. There might be 10 people touching him at the same time. But when she touched him with faith, the Bible says that Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are thinking, "Come on, Jesus, there are like 10 people touching you. They've been touching you all this time. Why are you saying, 'Who touched me?'" But it's an amazing thing, though, because Jesus knew, as the Bible says, that when she touched him with faith, Jesus said that power went out of him and that power healed her. And the Bible says that right away, she knew that she was healed. She knew that she was healed, and she was rejoicing. And when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" she came, she bowed at his feet, and she was so grateful for having been physically healed. Imagine being sick for 12 years, your situation is hopeless, and now you're restored to good health. That's quite extraordinary. But imagine being a sinner and being on your way to hell, and then having Jesus touch us, and now we're on our way to heaven. How much more extraordinary is that? That becomes really the focus with all that we're talking about. God wants us to always marvel at the physical, but always take it to the spiritual and know how much more important that is. This life is short. Spiritual is forever. God wants us to see these realities. Now we pick up with our story about the little girl. We find ourselves in verse 35, and we see some bad news. The Bible says, while Jesus was still speaking to the woman who had just been healed, there came from the synagogue ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Can you imagine the father receiving this devastating news? His daughter was so close to possibly being healed, and now he has word that she has died. He must have thought to himself, if only I would have gone to Jesus sooner. If only Jesus had not been delayed by this woman who had the bleeding issue. If only my daughter had held on just a little bit longer, then Jesus could have healed her. The healing was so close, and yet it had slipped away. Now she had died, and all was lost. In the fourth part, we come to the challenge. Picking up in verse 36, the Bible says, "But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not fear, only believe.' And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James." Can you imagine how difficult that would have been? Keep in mind, there is quite a crowd pressing around him. And he's like, "Peter, James, John, you come with me. The rest of you stay there." Are the people going to listen to that? He must have had like 20 huge like bodyguards like make a wall here and say, "You guys aren't coming through here no matter what. Jesus is going by himself." But somehow, some way, though, he took with him the three men who were closest to him, along with the father of the little girl, and they went to his house, and the rest of them, he said, stay there, and somehow they did. Did you catch what Jesus said to him? He said, "Do not fear, only believe." So we have two possibilities here. The man could have not believed, and the result would have been fear, or he could have believed, and the result would have been no fear. Do we like to be fearful? Nobody likes that. So God is saying, believe in me. Believe in me no matter what. Believe in me in every circumstance of life. What is the great current need in your life? Have you recently been diagnosed with cancer? Do you know a loved one who is dying? Do you know someone who is currently rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior, and yet you so much want him or her to be saved? What is that current great need in your life? How impossible does it seem? As you think about the situation, are you filled with fear? Even as maybe this father was becoming filled with fear when he heard that his daughter had died. Jesus wants us to hear his challenge even today. Do not fear, only believe. In part 5, we come to the disbelief. Picking up in verse 38, the Bible says, "They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly, And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Think about someone close to you who has died. It can be so sad when someone dies. It can feel so final when someone dies. Think about all of the weeping and the wailing that was going on. Let's know that that's normal and natural. The Bible even says that we should weep with those who weep, especially if it's a child, how much greater the weeping. We know how it can be difficult even when people who are much older than us, who have lived a full life, who are dying in Christ, even for them to die isn't easy. But when people are younger, it can become so difficult when they die. And then thinking about what Jesus said, he was talking about death and sleep. Think about for us, how much different are death and sleep? We understand that when someone dies, they are dead, and that's a lot different than sleeping. When someone is sleeping, we can wake them up and we can talk to them again. So when Jesus said, "The child is not dead, but sleeping," when it says that they laughed at him, that meant that they ridiculed him. That meant that they were mocking him. They not only failed to believe Jesus, but they scorned him for what he said. What about us? Are we like those people, or do we believe that Jesus can do anything? Jesus can do everything. As we live in this world, I think it's easy for us to put limits on the things of God, but God wants us to know that there is no limit with him. Now, let's be honest. Does he grant everything we pray for? He doesn't. But we're always praying, "Dear God, please, I'm asking you for this." But the attitude always is, just like we have on the bench out here in the garden, "Not my will, but thy will be done." So we know God always can, but will he always do what we ask? Well, we're saying, "God, you know what is best here. You know what I want, but I want what you want. So if you want something different other than what I'm praying for, you do what you know is best, and you help me to accept whatever that is." That's how our prayers should always be. Let's go on to part six. Let's come to some good news. We come to the miracle. We're picking up partway through verse 40, the Bible says. "But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, 'Talitha, kumi,' which means, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement." So imagine the scene. Put yourself in the room there, maybe as Peter, James, and John, or maybe the father of the little girl, or maybe the mother of the little girl. The atmosphere is loss, is defeat, is gloom. And then Jesus enters the room. He comes, he touches, he speaks. Simple things, but yet, think about what Jesus said. Now, not yet Jesus, but the Word of God, the very Son of God, who many years later would be given the name Jesus, when he spoke 6,000 years ago, what happened? When he spoke, the heavens and earth came into existence. When he spoke, the entire universe was formed. God wants us to know that the words of Jesus are extremely powerful. We should never sell him short. So when he spoke to this little girl, He was using the very power of God. And the Bible says that immediately she got up, and because she wasn't an infant, but she was 12 years old, she got up right away from where she was. She started to walk around to show that she was alive. God wanted that to be crystal clear to everyone. And then everyone present, they had this overwhelming sense of gain, of victory, of elation. It was all completely the opposite of what it had been when Jesus had entered the room. So what about us? We have sinned and deserved death. God wants us to know that's true. We have sinned, we have deserved death. But now, through Jesus Christ, through God's gift of faith that he has given to us, that we now know Jesus Christ as Savior, God wants us to know that we are forgiven. We have the gift of eternal life. We were bound to hell, and there was nothing we could do about it, but God has given us Jesus, and now we have heaven. God wants us to know of how bad it was. He wants us to know how good we have it now in Jesus Christ. And he wants us to know it's not a feeling, but it is fact because of what the Bible says. God wants us to be certain of such things. So let us know that Jesus can remove every fear, no matter what it is. Jesus can heal every sickness, if he chooses to do so. Jesus can mend every broken relationship, no matter how shattered it might appear. Jesus can do all that seems to be totally impossible. He can do it. Therefore, let us respond to who he is, to what he has done, by being ever sorry for our sins, by trusting him alone as our only Savior, and by relying on him in every circumstance of life. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a Bible-teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. Go to benefitfromthebible.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.